Good evening, Lehigh Valley, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and I want to thank our production and board person, Neil Heaver, as he puts this program together for us. Tonight we have a very special program. I'm thrilled to have Cassie Hilgert as our guest. As many of you know, Cassie has recently become the second president of ArtsQuest. After 30 years, Jeff has retired, and Cassie is now leading the effort. And tonight's program, we're going to get some insights from Cassie, both personally and professionally as a business, some of the things that she can share with us. Because as most of you know, I try and put a business spin on this show once a month, and Cassie will be a part of it. So Cassie, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
And it's been, what, 2 months now?
The announcement was last July, and I think what's been so great about this transition is, you know, you get to work with Jeff through that transition. So, yes, officially started in January, but I've been working on it since July, really.
I read a lot of articles, Cassie, about you. Obviously, there was a lot of PR in July when this started to take be known. And one of the things that I thought was very interesting from our listeners and our business folks' perspective is that you said the transition started by listening. And why don't you share a little bit with our listeners what you meant by that and what it brought to you and to your role as a leader of this organization?
Sure. To me, you know, ArtsQuest is a community-based organization. We exist because the community wants us to exist. And if you look at the number of volunteers we have or the number of people we serve, you see that. And we like to be a reflection of that. But I think the best way to understand where you need to go is to ask people how you're doing. It's great that I was within the organization and promoted up, but what can happen sometimes is you can lose perspective if you don't have some sort of external touch point. Mm-hmm. So for me to be able to meet with all of the elected officials that we interact with, our major donors, even folks that just come down to the campus once or twice, it's so amazing what you will learn if you sit down and ask someone, what do we do well and what do we not do well that we could improve on? There are so many things that people are willing to share, and they're so excited about ArtsQuest and what we're doing that it's a pretty easy conversation to start. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it was a great learning process to understand, not from our point of view as far as the ArtsQuest staff or being inside the organization every day, it's understanding what people on the outside see us as.
The perceptions.
Yeah, because I think you can get lost in sort of navel-gazing, if you will. Mm-hmm. And this gives me an opportunity to say to folks, if you could do anything, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? Yeah. And the things that I heard during that tour were really exciting to me. And it just, you can't get more re-energized or more excited than sitting down and talking to these folks and what they're willing to share. So that was really important for me to do. And I'm still doing that. And it wasn't just externally. It was also with all of our staff and our volunteers as well to be able to hear from them. Hey, what are some of the things that we just maybe have been too busy that we haven't paid attention to?
And, you know, you get going down a track and you don't look back.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've always been in awe of our staff and their dedication. But when you get to sit down with them, especially the folks on the front line and what they deal with every day and what they do, it's an exciting time to be able to say, okay, if you've got this issue or this problem, how can I, in this new role, we've got a chance to make things different.
Correct.
Transitions always allow for that. And it doesn't mean that it wasn't right before, but it's just an opportunity to say, hey, we're going to take a breath for a second and see what we can do going forward that we maybe didn't think about in the last couple of years. So that's been a great exercise too, making some small changes that have had big impacts internally.
Well, and every business goes through business stages and steps. And this is just another stage or step for ArtsQuest. And so those of you listening that have businesses, when you make a change in your business, I think this is great advice that Cassie's providing, because we don't tend to listen. We tend to skip a lot.
Well, and I really didn't have any agenda for the meetings, because I think what happens when you have that agenda is you get so focused on what it is you want to say.
Yes.
And you're not listening to what the other person is telling you. And if you'll just let the conversation naturally go where it needs to go, I think the person you're conversing with senses that authenticity and mm-hmm. they feel appreciated. And what I've been amazed by after all these meetings is the number of follow-up phone calls or something I will just get out of the blue saying, hey, remember when we got together and we talked about this? Well, I thought more about what you asked, and here's something else. Mm-hmm. So it's been an ongoing dialogue. It isn't a one-time thing.
Yeah, ongoing conversation. That's terrific. Well, when I think about all of the touches that ArtsQuest has. I mean, this could be a several-year project for you.
It is a several-year project, and while there's a certain group of folks and stakeholders that I want to make sure I talk to, you're exactly right. This is going to go on forever.
Right.
So it's the same kind of exercise and the same kind of satisfaction I get just when I walk around Music Fest and we'll pick someone out of the blue and just say, hey, what's your day been like? What do you like here? What have you been doing? And what don't we do here that you want to see?
Wow. That's incredible. How did you get here, Cassie?
I ask myself that a lot.
I look at your background, and I mean, you're originally from New York, mm-hmm. and you went to Penn State, so we got you into the state that way, and then you were with a number of corporations and nonprofits. Mm-hmm. Can you give our listeners a little bit of a bio of
sure.
Cassie and how she ended up here in the Lehigh Valley?
Sure. I was actually born in White Plains, New York, but we moved from there when I was fairly young. And my father had moved the family down to Winston-Salem, North Carolina to work for what was then a very tiny bank called Wachovia.
Oh.
So I actually grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which, believe it or not, is the only other
Moravian
city that has a Moravian community.
Yeah.
So that's where I grew up until I was about 11, and he was transferred once again. He was recruited up here to work for PPL. So when we moved up here, it was kind of funny because, you know, we found Bethlehem fairly quickly, and the Moravian community. And as an 11-year-old, I thought every city had a Moravian community. So I just thought that was the benchmark for everybody. But I went to high school here. I went to Salisbury High School.
Okay.
And then did go to Penn State. And I think I was like a lot of folks that we are trying to impact through our ArtsQuest programming as far as young professionals. I wanted to get out of the Lehigh Valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants to get away from the place they grew up.
Absolutely.
And it just so happened that when I was up at Penn State between my junior and senior year, I got an internship. I actually got a couple of them. One of them was in New York City, unpaid. And the other one was at MedStar Television, also unpaid. But certainly the big difference in economics was I could stay at home with my parents over the summer.
With MedStar.
Right. As much as I wanted to go to New York and live that life, the economics just didn't work. I still remember to this day that the internship I had in New York would have paid for lunch, and that was it. And I thought, if I ate a really big lunch, could I skip breakfast and dinner and be able to afford this? But that internship, actually, at the end of the summer, turned into a full-time job. So they offered
me
a job at the end of the summer. And that was a great, great experience. I got to travel all over the country managing accounts for MedStar at the time. It was right when managed care was really coming onto the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So as, you know, as a 20-year-old at the time, I was traveling out to L.A., to Erie, Pennsylvania, El Paso, Texas. And that really got me into television production, into writing, into working, obviously, in healthcare. From there, I was recruited over to Good Shepherd.
Okay.
And I think Good Shepherd.
I wondered about that, how that happened. Okay.
Yes, always networking.
Yes.
It's always networking.
Okay.
When I was recruited over there, that's where I really learned mission. So I got to work with Dr. Raker. He was still alive at the time, and he was coming into work every day. And that man's tireless energy and what he brought to the Lehigh Valley in a very quiet way, but in a substantial way, had a lasting impact on me. And I fell in love with that organization and for what they do and how they do it.
Yeah. And everybody there is so passionate about their mission.
So passionate. And it was forefront in everyone's mind. And I think that was formative to me because, you know, it was growing up. You know, you're taught that go out, get a job, you have to sustain yourself. And I think we focus a lot on that money, which you have to do to live, of course. But Dr. Raker really indoctrinated in me that if you do what you love, the rest will come.
Right.
So go find what that is. And so from there, again, from a previous coworker at MedStar Television, I was recruited over to Air Products.
Okay.
So I started there in their media department and worked a lot on crisis communications and on doing PR for about half of the business lines.
Wow. That's like 24 hours and short notice. And
it is. It's you're going to a lot of places at the last minute. But what was great about that place, and it still has a huge impact on me, is they are such a careful, safe company, and they do things the right way. So I learned there about processes, and I learned a lot about business. So MedStar was a small company. Good Shepherd was a little bigger, very much mission-based, and then going to this global company, really learned a lot about how to run the business the right way, what you should focus on, and the importance, really, of systems and processes so that if you have those right systems and processes in place, it frees you up to be creative about solutions or problems that need solutions. So I started doing that and then eventually moved over to doing handling the philanthropy for Lehigh Valley.
And that's where I think I first met you.
Yes, that area is when our paths crossed, I believe, at LVDC.
Could be, yeah.
When we were both on the board there. So that was really exciting, and that expanded then to work with a lot of our major North American facilities. So I moved from the Lehigh Valley and handling the philanthropy into working with our plant managers at our major locations all across the U.S. and Canada.
In philanthropy.
Yes. So what you do is you go into these communities and you learn what the community needs are. And again, that's part of where that listening tour came from, is that, you know, how do you find out about a community that you don't live in?
Right.
And it's, again, you go out and you ask people and you learn. You never stop learning.
So at Air Products, at least when you were there in your tenure, they would be responsive to the individual communities versus having a corporate sort of top-down approach to philanthropy.
Yes, they were just changing that process to move some of the decision-making out into the field.
Okay.
Because who knows the community best? Do
right.
we know it better here at corporate, or does the plant manager know it better? And of course, the plant manager does. So we were changing that model. And that, you know, obviously doing the Lehigh Valley and then doing the field is where I first met Jeff Parks.
Okay.
And he had this crazy little idea, and he took me down to the Bethlehem Steel site at the time, and it was abandoned, and he laid out this vision, and he was very passionate about it, and he got through the entire spiel, and we sat down at the table afterwards, and he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I think you're crazy." But I was so attracted to his ambition and to what he wanted to do that we would meet about every quarter after that just to talk about the project, the progress he was making. And that's what I was taken by, was that he was taking the steps between the time we got together, and he always had something new to report on and always had a great new idea. So he had started to talk to me about perhaps maybe this could be a fit for you to come over here one day. And I just thought, you know, go from Air Products to ArtsQuest. Who does that? It just sounds like I'm working myself down the alphabet. But I actually went back to my father, who was in finance for most of his career, very conservative, you know, very level-headed. And I kind of laid this out to him, and I said, "So this is probably a crazy idea, right?" And he was the one, I think, who really gave me the impetus to say, "Clearly this is something you love. Clearly this is something you're passionate about. And you should pursue it if it's the right thing for you." And I remember hearing, again, Dr. Raker sort of in the back of my mind saying, "Follow what you love."
Okay.
And so I joined the organization in 2008.
Wow. And the theme that the organization has right now, Imagine That, is exactly what Jeff put into place with SteelStacks.
We like to think we do that with anything. So it's not just SteelStacks, but it's whether it's imagining how we can revitalize the South Side with a project like SteelStacks, or even if it's just you come down to Music Fest and you see a visual like Soros last year, which was the performance-based group out of Toronto that dressed up as 18-foot dinosaurs. You don't expect to see that when you're going to a music festival.
Right.
So that's really our operating philosophy.
The unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
When I was doing some of the research into your background, there was something that I thought was really interesting, and that was the impact or the inspiration of a Broadway play on you, Woman of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were pretty young at the time when you saw that.
I was 13, correct?
Wow,
yes.
Okay. And so how did that impact you? And now you're sort of in the arts and on stage, so everything comes about.
My mother actually had been involved in drama to some degree in her when she was going to college. And I had actually gotten a theater scholarship offer when I first was looking at colleges to Penn State. And my father, I ended up going to Ohio University my first year, and I transferred. I went to Ohio because I wanted to be a journalist. Yes, I transferred back, but I wanted to be a journalist. And I remember my father at the time saying, "There's really no future in theater and in the arts." And we have a chuckle about that to this day because I remind him of that. But she took me to my first Broadway show because the arts were obviously important to her. And just the process of going into the city and the hustle and the bustle and how special that day was on my calendar, I was looking forward to it. And when I walked into the theater and everything went dark and everybody was so excited, and this one woman walked out on stage with one light, and we're all captivated by her. And I just fell in love. I just thought, this is the greatest thing in the world, not just the desire necessarily to be on stage, but the whole atmosphere.
Okay.
And having that experience to me was really life-changing. So it's something that I look back on because I want people to feel that anticipation and excitement when they come to any of our programming.
Well, and I think Arts Quest and all of the festivals and things have done that, as you said, with the dinosaurs that came out last year and the different approaches that your staff has done. It's been incredible. Let's talk a little bit about the business and your staff. How large is Arts Quest? How many staff? How many volunteers?
Sure. It's kind of an amazing thing when you think about the fact that we serve about 1.2 to 1.3 million people a year. We put on 1,500 camps, classes, and concerts a year.
1,500?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And we have 50 full-time staff. We have about 150 part-time. Let's say 100 part-time. And then obviously we've got a lot of seasonal part-time that help us as we ramp up for our festival season,
sure.
which runs from really May through December 31st when we end it with Peeps Fest and drop our 6-foot illuminated peep. But we have 2,200 volunteers. So when I talk about a community organization, I can't think of anything that really represents that better than that number, because these are people that I'm amazed when I see the dedication at Music Fest. These are people that take vacation time.
I know. I know several people who do that.
And they don't just, you know, when you think of volunteering, I think people have all different levels of interpretation of what volunteering is. Our volunteers help to run our programs. Mm-hmm. They're not there just to stand there
and
say hello.
Take tickets.
Yes. They manage stages. They are obviously keeping the place clean. They are running our transportation. So we literally could not exist if it wasn't for the number of volunteers that support us every year.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal when you go to an event over there and see everything transforming, and you know that the majority of it is volunteers
yes.
doing it.
Yes.
The dedication is incredible.
Well, we've got our volunteer department, which is led by Hillary Harper. She started a program a couple of years ago called the Ambassadors Program, and it was really in response to a number of volunteers who wanted to know a lot more about Arts Quest, not just what they have been doing with us to date. So it's this intensive 8-week immersive class where you hear from all parts of the organization. You understand how we run upside down and inside and out. And we have 54 ambassadors to date, and we just kicked off our next group, who just started last week. These are people that literally become ambassadors for us in the community when people want to know more about Arts Quest, because we are a complicated organization. It's not easy to explain mm-hmm. all that we do to people who don't know us necessarily. So, you know, without that kind of dedication, it's really, I can't imagine how we would be able to get along.
Well, listeners, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this ambassador program, because I would like people to know, if they're interested, Cassie, how to go about it. So, listeners, stay tuned. We'll be back. This is Sally Hanlon for WDIY's Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll be back in a moment.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me in the studio tonight is Cassie Hilgard, president of Arts Quest. And before the break, Cassie was talking about the volunteers in a very special program that was initiated called the Ambassador Program. And so I'd like to have her go into a little bit more depth about that, especially for you listeners who might be interested in understanding maybe how you can apply for this.
Sure. As I mentioned, Hillary Harper leads up this effort. She heads up our whole volunteer department. Her email, I'll just give her the email
okay.
right now. Hope
okay.
she doesn't mind this. It's hharper@artsquest.org. The ambassador program, it isn't the kind of thing where you can just roll off the street and say, hey, I want to sign up for this. You have to have put in so many hours as a volunteer
okay.
before you can sign up for this. And she walks through all of those qualifications and all those requirements for anybody who is interested. And then literally, I like to think of it, it's getting an MBA for Arts Quest. So you learn about our philosophy, where we came from, how we've evolved over 32 years. And there really is no question that is off the table, because we know, you know, from a public standpoint, I think what's been a challenge for Arts Quest is we are a nonprofit.
Right.
But we do so much in the arts and culture world, and you see us push ticket sales a lot because that's one of the ways that we help to support our mission and to support the programs. When I talked about the 1,500 camps, classes, and concerts, you know, 65 to 70% of those are free.
I know.
So you've got to pay for those somehow.
Right.
So we spend so much time on with our limited marketing resources on selling those tickets as a way to help support our mission that I think people can be confused and think that we are a for-profit.
Mm-hmm.
We're very entrepreneurial. So that can actually work against us in the sense that people think you're a for-profit, you can go out and get dollars however you need to, and that the ticket prices are covering everything.
Right.
We can go through a lot of the questions that people have about ArtsQuest through this ambassador program because they are the public. They are the ones that interact with the public every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And they know the behavior of patrons when they come down to, say, the ArtsQuest Center and they walk in. First time you walk in the ArtsQuest Center, it's overwhelming.
It is very much so.
And everyone's just looking up. They're mm-hmm. looking up at the blast furnaces. They're looking up at the building. And they're taken in by it, and they just don't understand what they're looking at. So the ambassadors, as they become educated about ArtsQuest, also educate us about what the public needs to know. So we'll go through them, you know, with them. Why is there so much orange in the building? You know, where did that photo on the wall come from? All kinds of things. So it's really an in-depth educational program about ArtsQuest and where we came from and where we're going.
Okay, so why is there so much orange on the wall? Is that the blast furnace?
Actually, a little trivia. That orange is called International Orange, and in a nod to the location where we sit on the Bethlehem Steel site, that is the color of the Golden Gate Bridge. And all of the structural steel for the Golden Gate Bridge was produced by Bethlehem Steel.
Oh, I knew that, but I didn't know about the color. Okay.
Yes.
Listeners, you heard it first here, unless you talked to an ambassador already. So, terrific. Well, one of the things that you had mentioned was the scope of ArtsQuest is really hard for people to understand. And, you know, there's the Banana Factory, there's, you know, Music Fest, there's all these other festivals, there's Steel Stacks. Is there more to that? You know, can you explain to our listeners sort of all the components of ArtsQuest?
Sure. From an overarching mission standpoint, and this is one of the things that really drew me to ArtsQuest, we present arts and cultural programming in order to help drive economic development in urban areas. And I think that is a huge differentiator in what makes ArtsQuest so special.
Okay.
We want to be in the neighborhood that we want to revitalize. So in the industry, especially when you look at festivals, so many of them today go out into green fields mm-hmm. and they put up a fence and they charge ticket prices, then they roll up at the end of the weekend and they go home. And there really is no lasting impact on the footprint where they were.
Right.
We want to be in the area that we want to improve. We want to live there to be able to change it. So I think that's a really big deal as far as what ArtsQuest does and why we do what we do. So when we started, obviously, it was with Music Fest, and that was literally started to help bring traffic to Main Street.
I remember that. I was a volunteer then.
Yes?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
I didn't
know that.
But yes.
That's fantastic. I was a teenager on Main Street.
Okay.
So that was started, obviously, from a tourism standpoint and an economic development standpoint.
Right.
You fast forward a little bit to the Banana Factory. So we opened that in 1998. In between there, we started Chris Kindlemart, again, wanting to bring some of the European traditions over here with a strong Moravian base, and obviously
sure.
Bethlehem being the Christmas city. So we also run Chris Kindlemart, Music Fest, the Banana Factory. Then we opened Steel Stacks in 2011, and we've added there the Envision Photo Festival, which happens the first weekend of November. That's sponsored by Olympus.
Okay, that's when you see all of the photographs
yes.
along the fencing, and I think that's very special.
Yes, it's a really great niche festival that brings in extraordinarily high-end photographers,
yes,
and Olympus
beautiful.
Has been instrumental in that. We've got the Blast Furnace Blues Festival, which actually will be happening this weekend at the ArtsQuest Center. We've got a great lineup there that's presented by Highmark, and we've got Oktoberfest presented by Yingling, so that's another festival that, mm-hmm. that we've brought there. Those are bigger ones that I think people know about. There's some smaller, great niche ones like our Improv Comedy Festival that happens in January that you know, is really growing in support and popularity on a much smaller scale. And so that's something else that we do. So ArtsQuest, we like to treat the brand ArtsQuest much like the Johnson & Johnson brand,
okay.
where it's the umbrella over many different programs. Okay. And you see ArtsQuest in a lot of our advertising across the bottom, so we're always attaching that because we want people to start to understand ArtsQuest runs these programs. We don't want to hit people over the head with it. We still want to lead with our established brands like Music Fest and the Banana Factory. So we will never get rid of those necessarily. It's more attaching ArtsQuest to that so people start to make that connection.
Well, and I think too, Cassie, that you've had a very visionary board over this entire 30 years that ArtsQuest, first of all, Music Fest and ArtsQuest. I remember when the name was changing, and it had just been Music Fest, and then the Banana Factory came on board, and then the change to ArtsQuest. And it was a little sort of confusing, and why are they doing this? But of course, most people didn't know the full vision.
Correct.
Of where the board and Jeff were taking this organization. So, and you have a pretty healthy board from a number of people and leaders in the community, correct?
We actually have five boards.
Five, and you are associated with all five?
We have, yes, we have.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, when you talk about dedication and passion, so when we opened SteelStacks, we quickly realized that our existing structure of a board and a number of committees wasn't going to serve us well into the future.
Okay.
So what we did is we shifted our organizational structure, and we've got an ArtsQuest Board of Trustees. They have the fiduciary responsibility of moving the organization along and making sure that it's sustainable. Then we have a Performing Arts Board.
Okay.
They focus primarily on all of our music programming, so obviously Music Fest, but the Music Fest Cafe. They also cover cinema and comedy. So this way the board can truly focus on the performing arts pillar of ArtsQuest. And then we have a visual arts board.
Okay.
They focus obviously on all things that are visual arts. We didn't call it the Banana Factory board because when you look into the future and where we want to go, I'd love to be able to commingle performing arts and visual arts between our two campuses with the Banana Factory and SteelStacks. And then we have the Friends of Levitt Pavilion. That's the outdoor pavilion that does the 50 free shows. And we have the ArtsQuest Foundation board.
Okay.
That is a board that has been recently reinvigorated as Jeff transitions to the executive director of that role. I think that was five. Board of Trustees, Levitt, Performing Arts, Visual Arts, and
Foundation. Tell me a little bit about the Foundation board, because that I was not aware of until recently when I saw that Jeff was moving into that position.
Mm-hmm.
Is that looking out for the future down the road of ArtsQuest and everything, but you still have your development needs for the individual festivals and activities?
Correct. It's serving two purposes for us. The ArtsQuest Foundation had existed, but just in a smaller level. It existed because we were fortunate enough years ago to start a very small endowment. We had a wonderful gift, but it really kind of sat there because we didn't do much with it. As I wrote our existing strategic plan, we have a big focus on sustainability. And that's going to be important for us moving forward. Sustainability meaning what are our capital and operating needs going to be for the next 20 to 25 years? And when you're running the campuses that we are and the programs that we are, they are so dependent on technology, and that technology changes and it's expensive, whether it's audio, visual, lighting. All of those things are extraordinarily expensive. Then you've got your building depreciation, so that also comes into play. So the Foundation Board will work on building up our endowment through a number of mechanisms. We're going to put in a planned giving program. We're creating a number of different funds. So as we go out to people that we know support us and have a high affinity for us, we will have the opportunity for them to give to education if they have a particular interest in education to help support our Be Smart program at the Banana Factory. Or there'll be a performing arts fund that people can give to. I think a lot of people think, and we've beat them over the head the last 30 years, that Music Fest is a free festival. I think a lot of people think that also means it's free to put on, and that the artists donate their time. And we actually pay every artist, with the exception of very few situations, we pay every single artist, because if we believe we're going to put on arts and culture programming, we have to make give them a chance to create their own livelihood.
Absolutely.
So there's the Performing Arts Fund, and there are a number of different ones. So the foundation will focus heavily on helping to shore up the sustainability of the organization going forward.
Okay, and you've always been focused on strategic and sustainability. I remember some of the discussions at the LVEDC board. I mean, it seems to be an area that you're very passionate about in making sure the community is basically able to continue on at a the current pace.
And I think a little bit of that goes back to my time at Air Products, and I liken sustainability to having the right processes in place, because mm-hmm. if you don't have sustainability, you're essentially living in an emergency mode.
Yes.
And your hair is on fire, mm-hmm. and you can't think strategically. And I looked a lot to the Philadelphia Arts District as that was created. It took them about a decade to put that together. And they raised enough money for the building, on all the buildings there. They didn't raise enough for operating. So you're seeing there's
very short-sighted, yeah.
Yes, and everyone loves a shiny new building.
Sure.
But you have to make, and you can make a great argument for why you need to raise money for ongoing operations so you can continue to impact the community. We're now in our third generation of music fest goers.
Right.
And we want that to be the 10th generation of music fest goers. So sustainability, to me, when you have that, you free yourself up to be creative and look out to the community and see what other gaps are not being filled. Otherwise, you're just in that day-to-day mode of how do we survive?
Okay. I remember a while back talking to Jeff, so it was pre his retirement, and he had said that I don't know whether you were part of this or not, but that he had been going out speaking to other communities about exactly what mm-hmm. ArtsQuest has done. Have you been a part of those tour trips or whatever?
Yes, he was leading the effort on those for a good amount of time, and he certainly still is because he's got the 32 years of experience in
right.
that. But we're having other communities in Maryland, in Georgia, out west that are reaching out to us as they've learned about SteelStax with a lot of the awards that it's gotten through our partnership with the city and the Redevelopment Authority. There was the Urban Land Institute Award last year, which was a big deal. So people are calling us and saying, hey, how did you do that? How did you use that kind of programming to revitalize an area? And I think it goes against their traditional model of the only way to economic development is through a corporation relocating.
Right, get a headquarters.
Exactly, yeah. Which just doesn't happen every day.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that can happen on a grassroots level and leads to economic development, because while we're not going to have a corporate headquarter locate next to SteelStax, mm-hmm. you will have restaurants that will open because we support them from the people we bring down. When you have the restaurants, then you get the smaller businesses and you get that kind of organic growth, which I think brings in a creative workforce, and that's the kind of workforce that we're going to need going forward.
Well, and the other thing that I find interesting, and maybe this has already occurred, but I would think other nonprofits in our community should be looking towards your model. And because what I found being on the boards and being associated with nonprofits, they are in the reaction mode. You know, their hair is on fire, and so they're not thinking long term, and therefore they're not making decisions that maybe don't necessarily fit today, but get them to tomorrow.
Right.
Do you have nonprofits coming to you and saying, okay, how did you do this? But, you know, can we?
You know, it's funny. We're having a number of great conversations with nonprofits. I had them on my listening tour because I think I learn as much from them as they do from us. And mm-hmm. we've got some really tremendous nonprofits in the Lehigh Valley. I think there's a huge opportunity for more nonprofits to work together and act a little bit more like a business and see how are there ways we can work together.
Absolutely.
And I think in the nonprofit sector, as a gross generalization, I think we're a little nervous about anyone coming into our territory. Where does it stop? Are they going to try to take us over? So I think we need to get out of that mindset and look at each other strategically and say, what is your strength? What is my strength? And how can we combine some of those to mutually grow ourselves?
Correct. Yeah, I've often felt that we had little segments of the same organization, but people with maybe just a little different approach. And if they could only get together, the opportunity to grow and to get the right funding mm-hmm. would probably be tenfold.
Correct. And I can give you an example of that. We've got a great partnership with Historic Bethlehem mm-hmm. Museum and Sites. And it doesn't seem like that would be a natural fit because we do very much current arts and culture,
yeah.
and they're very much focused on the past and history. But as we talked to one another and started to work together, we realized that they have a tremendous strength in giving tours and in being historical record keepers mm-hmm. and telling people about our history. We have a really big strength in selling tickets and promoting and reaching a large audience. So every day, just about every day, not in the winter, but certainly in the spring and summer and fall, Historic Bethlehem provides walking tours of the Bethlehem Steel site.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we couldn't do. It's not something we want to do. They don't have
focus.
The infrastructure
right.
necessarily to handle those ticket sales.
Right.
So that's what we bring to the table is the marketing reach and the ticketing sales.
Okay. Now, I was thinking as I was coming over to the show tonight, what did we do before SteelStax was there? I mean, I look at most of the community events that are happening, and you've got such a great facility. I'm thinking, how did we do this before? And I think probably you have grown the opportunity for businesses as well as other nonprofits to do things. The cookie crunch that you just had for the Girl Scouts.
Yes.
What a great opportunity. The thong that you just did with Penn State students. I mean, we didn't do those things before.
No, we didn't. And that was a big driver for building the whole campus. When I was talking earlier about wanting to graduate college and get out of here, because there was nothing that I felt wanted to keep me here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of our big goals for SteelStax is the Lehigh Valley, and you and I know this from being on the LBDC board, we used to always say one of the greatest attributes we had was we were between New York and Philadelphia.
Correct.
Now we're able to say, and what we knew we needed and we heard from employers was, give me year-round cultural activities and amenities that these highly skilled workers are looking for in larger metropolitan areas.
Correct.
So we don't think that there's any one way to do that. When we talk about sort of the community involvement, the cookie crunch, that was an idea that came up from one of our staff members who had a daughter in the Girl Scouts. And Thon, obviously, with my Penn State connection, that was mm-hmm. something that we wanted to do. So we don't try to think these are four types of programs we do and that's all we're going to do. We'd
right.
love to have the conversation with anyone and see how can we turn this into an attraction.
So your entrepreneurial effort continues to be...
Yes,
going
a hallmark
forward.
Of our culture.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's amazing what you're doing. I'm just so excited. The other thing that happened this past year, listeners, you may recall, was the Soccer Fest or whatever.
The World Cup, the FIFA World Cup viewing party.
Yes, that was incredible, the amount of people and during a work day and traffic that you got down there.
Yes, I don't think there is a better example of how we can adapt than that. Kurt Mozell, who took my job heading up sponsorship and marketing, that was his idea because he had actually worked in professional soccer and in the NBA when he lived out in Chicago. And when he first brought this idea to us and said, look, I think the Lehigh Valley would love a soccer festival and the World Cup is here and people love it, we all looked at him like he had 10 heads.
All right.
But the more he walked us through it, It was a tremendous success.
It was. Listeners, we're going to take another break, so please stay tuned. This is Sally Hanlon on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar, every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, in the studio with Cassie Hilgert. And quite honestly, I'd like to have about a three-hour show with you, Cassie. There's just so much going on and so many interesting things happening with ArtsQuest and where it's headed. Before the break, we were talking about sort of the entrepreneurial spirit, you know, and coming up with new things that you don't really have programs that you fit things into. And we also talked about the sort of cooperative effort, and one of the things that I find really interesting, and I think you guys, ArtsQuest is the leader here, you are doing a lot with SANS. People wondered how that was going to work mm-hmm. out, and you've shared with me that you're doing stuff with PPL Center. Why don't you share with our listeners some of these cooperative efforts that'll maybe give them some ideas of how they can work with others?
You know, I think in any of these partnerships, what we try to look at and what we operate under is the all boats rise philosophy. So when in particular, if we look at, for instance, the PPL Center, when the Phantoms were just coming into the area, they were getting great PR, but they really wanted to build up their awareness. So we reached out to them, and we've had some partnerships with them where they will bring down their mascots, their players, and they are at our festivals or bigger events, because what that does for them is it's essentially marketing.
Absolutely.
So there is it's a win-win and a benefit for both organizations. The Sands has been a tremendous partner. I mean, they've donated all the land for the site originally. That was not certainly something that we could have afforded in mm-hmm. addition to what we raised for the building. Mm-hmm. And when they opened the event center, you're correct, a lot of people thought, oh my goodness, what are we doing here? And there's going to be another venue right down the street. We do a lot of co-promotions with them. It helps with the people we bring in from Music Fest for their hotel. And the Sands is very interested in making that area a destination. They get it that if somebody comes to Steel Stacks and they have a great time, especially from out of the area, they're going to come back.
Absolutely.
And when they come back, they're going to look for other things to do. So we have a very similar operating philosophy in our partnership with the Sands. And even with the Event Center, truly, it doesn't compete with us in this way. It's a much bigger venue than the Music Fest Cafe. Mm-hmm. So from an economic standpoint, those are two very different artists in terms of what the ticket price would be, who we could even afford.
Right. Right. Well, you know, and the other thing that's coming, and I can see where this will fit in too, I mean, there's been some talk about the convention center and what a role the Arts Quest, I mean, I think the board was very strategic in the positioning and the sizing mm-hmm. of this organization.
Well, the Music Fest Cafe was very strategic because what we saw in the music industry as we were going through the plans to design that building was the touring industry was getting smaller. You know, back in the day, artists went on tour to sell albums, and I'm really dating myself saying albums.
33s, huh?
Right? Or 45s. The industry has changed so much that now they really go on tour. That's the main way that they support themselves. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing that these tours are getting a little smaller. It's very expensive to pull off, like the Keith Urban sold out show that we had last year. That's an enormous tour. It's more likely in the middle of that bandwidth that you get artists that are traveling with one bus or maybe two at the most. And this venue size that we have that can accommodate between 450 and 1,000 is really where that industry is going.
Right. Wow. Incredible. And some of the other folks that you partner with, Discover Lehigh Valley.
Yes, Discover Lehigh Valley. I'm actually on their board, and they do a great job with promoting tourism for the entire Lehigh Valley. But that's an important organization for us. They have a very successful social media outreach. And so when we can partner together, we give them inventory for contests, then they're promoting, obviously, our programming. That is a great thing for us. And even when you look at the Girl Scouts, we see that in the Cookie Crunch event as a strategic partnership for mm-hmm. us. So we want to work with them not just on putting on an event like the Cookie Crunch, but we've talked in years to come, when you have that one-day event, how can you bring girls together at that age, and what other women professional leaders can they then interact with on that day? Can we have a leadership skills session as part of that day? Can they have one-on-one time with women who have careers and talk to them about how did you get here? Mm-hmm. So we aren't just looking at the time that you're in there from the Cookie Crunch standpoint. It's in working with the Girl Scouts, understanding what their goals are and understanding what our goals are and seeing how we can use our mutual or our existing assets to create that mutual benefit.
And I think your staff, everyone, I mean, starting with you on the way down, but I think every one of your staff is thinking that way because we have an event that we do, Lehigh Valley Meet the Buyers,
yes.
that we did 2 years ago. We're coming back to Steel Stacks in the fall with that. And I just find that your staff is so helpful. It's not this that we're renting a place.
Correct.
You know, that there's suggestions, thoughts, how about we do this? You know, can we add this to that? And so it makes it a wonderful experience as an event planner.
Right.
To work with Steel Stacks.
Our staff is truly incredible. It's something that I've been in awe of since the time I started there. What I think is so exciting about them is a couple of things. Number one, a little known fact, 20% of our staff were interns. We use a lot of interns, and our interns, like our volunteers, do serious work. They are mm-hmm. not running to get coffee. They actually do things that we do. But you need to be a special person and have a special personality to work at Arts Quest because of the time demands mm-hmm. and because of what we need to do on a very nimble basis. So when we have you as an intern, and if you survive, you know, Music Fest or sort of that gauntlet,
yeah.
we know that you are a fit in our culture, and we very carefully encourage employees to come up with ideas, to own them, to implement them, and run with them. And as part of this transition, I'm really trying to focus with the staff on, look, we need to, as much as we embrace success, more so embrace failure. Obviously, you can't have nothing but failures from a financial standpoint.
That's correct.
But the only way you learn something is if you don't do something well. That's at least my belief, and that you'll learn more from that than if it's a great success.
Correct.
So it's when an employee comes up with an idea, supporting them, bringing it to fruition, and then evaluating it immediately afterwards in a way that says, this was really, really great. If we could have done this again, how would we tweak that? And mm-hmm. letting them own that solution too.
Yeah. And that's so important. A lot of young people today don't get that opportunity to run with the ball. You know,
yes.
They're sort of told what to do, and they're sort of put into cubes, and that's what they do. And you're giving them quite an opportunity to be creative and energetic. And
yes.
Wow.
There is an expectation in a meeting that if you say, hey, I have an idea.
You own it, huh?
Right.
Okay. That sounds like some of the places I've been. Okay. We talked about your campus over there. What else is going to be happening over there, maybe in the near future, the
sure.
next 3 to 5 years, Cassie?
Sure. The Hoover Mason Trestle is right now under development and under construction. That's a project that is being run and financed by the Redevelopment Authority of Bethlehem. And you talk about an important strategic partner. Oh. They have been just amazing with us. And Tony Hanna, in particular, has been a huge champion for us. That's going to be, I think, a transformative moment that a lot of people in the Lehigh Valley don't yet understand. Because the Hoover Mason Trestle is that rail line right in front of the blast furnaces that used to carry the rail cars mm-hmm. when Bethlehem Steel was operating. That's going to be an elevated walkway that the public is actually going to be able to get up on and walk the length of the blast furnaces down to, from the visitor center down to the blower house. A lot of people liken it to the High Line in New York. It's not going to be that, except that it is an elevated rail line. So I think that's why they make that comparison. But you'll be able to go up there and with your smartphone or other technology, be able to stop at different points along there and learn what happened in Bethlehem Steel's history on this day.
A guided.
What did the blast furnace okay. do as far as making steel? So it's going to be an interactive experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a huge draw, especially to the out-of-town visitor when that opens.
Now, is that eventually going to make its way down to the sands to the hotel so people will be able to walk basically from inside the campus through down to Steel Stacks instead of going outside to Third?
That's the goal eventually, and okay. I think they want to see the timing of some other development that may be coming okay. at the other end there before they decide how they finish it versus finishing it now.
And moving it.
Right. Right. So I think it's a much smarter decision to do it in phases.
That is. That's very thoughtful. We talked about sort of the structure of ArtsQuest with the boards. How long have all these boards been in play? And is this a strong structure? Is this working out well?
It's working out really well. We've tweaked it. The change in structure for the board happened when we opened Steel Stacks because we knew that we were essentially going from an organization that ran Music Fest, Chris Kindlemart, and the Banana Factory to a true 365-day-a-year operation. So we needed a different structure. A lot of our board members were instrumental in helping us create that structure. Again, that, mm-hmm. that sort of listening idea. And we have made some changes to that board structure since 2011, so we're constantly looking at it and seeing how we can tweak it so it better serves the needs of the organization.
Too many, I think, organizations get stuck in this is the board and this is what they do and that's it, and they don't really necessarily educate or tap the expertise that a board can provide. I'm finding that more and more.
I'm amazed that if you sit back and look at your board and, again, we keep going back to the asking part. As a leader of a nonprofit, you always want your board to help you with fiduciary oversight and, of course, fundraising. I don't think enough organizations ask their board members, what are they really good at? It may not be their job. And I have found that, too, that just because you have an accountant on your board, don't fall into the belief that they need to help me with my finances.
Right.
If you ask them what they're really good at, it may be logistics, it may be shipping, it may be something else that they have a passion about. And if you can tap into that, then you've got someone who brings two sets of skills to the table.
Correct. And while you mentioned logistics, I mean, that's another thing that amazes me with your staff over there. This event that we had 2 years ago, Meet the Buyers, the room was transformed. It seemed like in minutes from one event to another. A lot of how do you handle all the people that are there for the soccer tournaments? And, you know, I just think about the portalettes. And
so do we, a lot. You know, when I first joined the organization, I had only experienced ArtsQuest programming like everyone else. I went to Music Fest, and that looked pretty easy to set up, right? I mean, it's a nice couple of days. How long is that? But when I got in there, boy, the first thing you learn is the most important part of what we do is everything behind the scenes. Yes, obviously it's a big deal to get the main stage headliners, and Patrick, our senior VP of programming, does a tremendous job handling all of this year round. But when you're really going to make an experience for someone, it's everything that leads up to when they get there and the things that happen when they are there that have nothing to do with your programming. It's how many bathrooms you have. It's how much or how close is the parking. It is, you know, where is the closest food vendor? How do you safely set up tents so that people don't trip over spikes? I'm amazed, and I love how much our time or how much time our staff spends on that. And they have years when you combine it. It's almost 100 years of experience mm-hmm. that they bring to the table. And again, this is why communities are reaching out to us and saying it isn't just what should we do to help revitalize, but then how do you do it? And I think they're just as surprised when we say, you know, the first question is, how many bathrooms do you have?
Yeah.
Because no one is going to stay for a long time if you don't have clean bathrooms. And when we give people tours of the Steel Stacks campus, especially for the first time they come down, we are so proud of the number of bathrooms we have in the Arts Quest Center and the Visitor Center. And I'm particularly proud for us ladies that we have potty parity.
Yes.
So that is a very important thing to us. But that does a lot for the customer experience. And I think people tend to overlook that or have no idea how long it takes to set up a stage, especially 14 free ones outside for 10 days when you've got weather issues.
Terrific, yeah. And, you know, I don't know, listeners, if you've had this experience, but I've gone to other events and, you know, you walk past and the trash is overflowing.
Yes.
And people are just sort of really upset about they're not getting in line, they're not getting seats. I never hear that at Music Fest or any of the events that I go to. So kudos to you and your staff.
It's an amazing staff. Ray Neeb heads up our festivals and events, and Susan Drexinger heads up all the hospitality that you were talking about. And mm-hmm. they can flip a room in the blink of an eye, and they do it with a smile. And I'm amazed by what they accomplish.
I almost think you guys are up there with Disney with the way you're able to do some of this stuff. It's just incredible to me. But let's talk a little bit, Cassie, about what's coming up the next couple weeks, months, whatever, at Arts Quest, Steel Stacks, Music Fest, whatever you want to talk
sure.
about. I know when you looked at your phone, I could see like rows and rows of events that you have coming up within the organization. So
yes.
Let's share some of that with our listeners.
Sure. You know, for all the latest information, we actually switched where we house all of our programming information. It used to be at artsquest.org. It's now at steelstacks.org.
Okay.
So we made that switch watching customer behavior. They just have embraced Steel Stacks. You know, they don't say I'm going down to Arts Quest this weekend. I'm going down to Steel Stacks
or
the Banana Factory. So we also have a Banana Factory website. And that will give you all the latest information. We talked earlier about the Blast Furnace Blues presented mm-hmm. by Highmark Blue Shield. That's this weekend. There's a great lineup there. We really bring in some very high-level blues artists nationally. We also have local performers. Bev Conklin will be performing.
Oh, okay.
Sarah Ayers. We've got a really wonderful lineup. And if you look there, too, I was looking at it this morning, we have a class called Intro to Blues Dancing, which I'm really interested to see exactly what is blues dancing. But I think I will go check that out.
Okay.
We have our regularly scheduled programming. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are big days for us each week, and we have comedy each Thursday night, which has become a very popular program for us. And then we have our Music Fest main shows, Music Fest Cafe shows, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all those are listed there. Once we get into May and we hit Memorial Day, the Levitt season begins.
Okay.
And that's a great season. We attracted over 50,000 people there last year, and we see ourselves on a big trajectory of growth there. So those shows happen every Thursday, Friday, Saturday from Memorial Day all the way through mid-September. Those headliners start at 7:30. And it's just a wonderful atmosphere down there. When the night is right, you bring down a blanket. We've got the Mac Cafe there. We've got the Mike and Ike Bistro. And it's a really great place to be. And we've got some really exciting things teed up that I can't talk about yet for the okay. patriotic holidays.
Oh, okay. That sounds very interesting. Okay. We'll have to stay tuned and go to steelstacks.com. And is it
.org?
.org, sorry. And
yep.
bananafactory.org?
.org, correct.
Okay. So you can get your listings there. We have just a few moments left, Cassie. Two things I'd like to ask of you to share, if you could. One is, as you imagine it 5 years from now, what do you see sort of popping out at you? And what is something that you really would like our listeners to take heart when the show ends tonight, what do you want them to remember special about Arts Quest Banana Factory Steel Stacks?
Let me take the last one first because it's something that I have felt for a long time. When I was at Air Products and I had the good fortune of traveling all around the country and working with all these communities, small, medium, and large, what made Steel Stacks possible was that an entire community looked at a site that was dilapidated and nothing had happened for 15 years on that site. Mm-hmm. And everyone, whether it was the public sector or the private sector, bought into a long-term vision. And by that I mean, when Bethlehem Steel closed and the plant stopped operating, any of the public sector agencies, city government, county government, state government, could have advocated for tearing those blast furnaces down and putting up a strip mall and generating revenue immediately. Mm-hmm. What they decided to do was to buy into a vision and a longer-term vision that they knew would take more time, and say, this is something we believe is more important to the longevity and the sustainability of the community. Then you had the private sector that came in and said, yeah, we're going to buy into that too. So if it's anything, I think this community in the Lehigh Valley needs to be proud of what has happened at Steel Stacks and realize just how unique and what a one-of-a-kind project that is from a national perspective.
Well, and I think, well, almost international. I know they've done some things in Germany with some steel factories too, but I think what you have done here, you, Jeff, all your staff, is unique in the world.
And the community. And I think that's the lasting impression that I want to leave, that we are a community-based organization and we want to stay connected to the community. They own Arts Quest, and that's what I want them to always feel, is that sense of ownership about our programming.
It's part of us. I hope you learned a lot tonight about Arts Quest Steel Stacks, our new leader, Cassie Hilgert. It is a very special place here in the Lehigh Valley, here in Bethlehem. So if you're listening and haven't been there, shame on you, get out there. Cassie, I want to just say thank you very much for spending the time tonight with us at WDIY.
And talk about another great community asset. Thank you for having me here at WDIY.
It is a great community asset. Listeners, this evening, I thank you for sharing your time with us. And this is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.